The third characteristic of the Veda is, it is beautiful not only in expression, but beautiful in its poetic expression. Rigveda is nothing but sheer poetry. Now, what is poetry? To be able to understand that this is a great poetry, I can also write poems, Jivatma also can write poems, Fani can write poems, Vishwamitra also can write poems. Is there any difference? There is a difference. First of all, a good poetry must have rhythmic word. I spoke of this once before, but we can repeat it because it's very important. Poetry is poetry only when it consists of rhythmic words. If the words are not rhythmic, it is not poetry. In prose writing, the words may not be rhythmic. But in poetry, if the words are not rhythmic, it's not poetry. That's one mark of poetry. The expressions must be rhythmic. There must be rhythm. The second is, it must have style. In prose also there is style, but it is not a necessary element of prose. In poetry there must be style. And what is style? What you want to express and the manner of expression should coincide. The substance of what you want to say and the manner of saying, they must gel with each other. That is called style. What you are and the manner of your being should be consistent with each other. Then it is style. To take a very small example, if you are very tall and your dress is short, it's not a style. To have a style, what you are and the manner of your expression should have some kind of harmony. So similarly, in the case of poetry, what you want to say and the way of saying, they must be harmonious. And the third characteristic of poetry is that it must have an image. This is very important. All poetry must have an image. In prose you may not have images, but poetry without image is out of the question. Image is the fundamental thing in poetry. Whatever you want to say, it must have a very concrete image. I want to express laughter, for example. And then you may give an image of the fall of Ganges from the Himalayas. It's like a laughter. In a laughter there is a kind of a rhythm of fall. And the image of it would be something like the fall of Ganges from the Himalayas. So you might say, Himalayas are laughing. The Ganges are nothing but laughter of the Himalayas. This is an image. The poetry must have images of whatever is to be expressed. But image what? That is very important, and that is the crux of the matter. The image must image profounder and profounder and profoundest reality. If it's an image of an ordinary thing, poetry is ordinary. If what is imaged is of a profounder thing, it is a profounder poetry. If the image is an image of the profoundest reality, poetry is profoundest. That is how you can judge poetry. Is it ordinary poetry? Or is it profounder poetry or profoundest poetry? It depends upon what is the substance which is imaged. Now, when all the three, rhythm, style, image, and the substance that is imaged, are of the highest order, then that is the best poetry. There are many poets who are rhythmic, but they don't have style. There are poets who have got great style, but no rhythm, or very little rhythm. There are poets who are profound. Their images are good, but style is poor, and their rhythm is poor. That is how many poets can be understood, and when you read any poetry, you ask these three questions and you will find out the value or evaluation of a good poet. Poet like Shakespeare or Shelley or Keats, they are very great poets and they have great merits, like Milton, for example. And then if you read Sri Aurobindo's poetry, Savitri. Savitri is the one poetry which has intensest rhythmic expression. Most wonderful rhythms in English literature that you find is to be found in Savitri. The style in Savitri is most marvelous. What is to be expressed and the manner of expression, they completely harmonize. And the images, one after this, abounding images. One of the best images of Savitri that you find in the very beginning of the book, as a young girl, how she is growing up. One day we shall read together this particular few lines of Savitri and you will see the abundance of images. And what is imaged is so profound. Profoundest reality of Savitri is brought out. That is why Savitri is regarded as the highest poetry that we have in the world literature. And now if you judge Vedic poetry from this point of view, and Sri Aurobindo himself has written on this, and he has himself said that when these three things are of the highest order, poetry becomes mantric. Poetry becomes full of mantra. And Vedic poetry is mantric poetry. The word mantra is very important. What is mantra? Mantra is a poetic expression which has highest rhythmic value, whose style is most appropriate, and whose images reflect the highest reality, highest experience of reality. When the three combine together and they are expressed, then that expression is called mantra. And mantra has a power. Actually, every sound has a power. Every word has power. But they have different kinds of power. you must have yourself seen how a powerful dialogue may be very short, very pithy, and they make like a bolt an effect upon you. Even 20 lines cannot produce that effect which one line can produce that effect, because the power of that word is so great. So different kinds of words and sounds have different kinds of power. But mantra has the highest power. When it is uttered, then the substance of it is realized. That is the meaning of mantra. You just recite a mantra, and what is recited is itself experienced by you on the spot. That is the power of mantra. And Sri Aurobindo has said that Vedic poetry is mantric poetry. Rishis themselves who compose the poetry, they call that poetry mantra.